right. Well, welcome back. We have been talking about, I believe God has called each of us to put God first in the marketplace. And we've been talking about Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, which means, in a nutshell, if you take care of God's business, he will take care of your business. And we also talked last week with our guest, John Bonnick, about being bivocational shepherds or ministers in the marketplace, basically toward those God has placed in our paths, whether they're clients, employees, friends, coworkers, employers, or whatever. This week, I'm excited to share with you another great guest and my best friend, Rusty Shoemate. Rusty, are you there? Were you able to connect? Victoria, you might have to unmute him.
Jeff did.
I'm here.
Okay, very good. All right, Rusty's here. So anyway, Rusty and I go way back to when my wife and I were living in Orlando and traveling to Lakeland every Sunday, which is about an hour away, just to attend church. I was in the hospital sick when Rusty suddenly showed up from Lakeland. At the time, Rusty was the choir director and on the pastoral visitation staff. First, I was shocked that anyone from Lakeland would come all the way to Orlando just to see me in the hospital. But I'll never forget when Rusty walked into that hospital room, pulled up a chair, and sat by my bed and acted like he had all day to talk. And yet that's exactly what Rusty does when he goes to people's homes or does sales calls or whatever. He ends up prophesying and ministering and praying with them. So Rusty and I found we have much in common, having both lived and grown up in South Carolina, and we've remained close friends since. Of course, now I'm living in South Carolina, and Rusty's living in Georgia. We won't hold that against him. But Rusty spends most of his time on the road traveling through South Carolina, so he might as well be a South Carolina resident. Anyway, Rusty is a salesman. He puts into practice exactly what we're talking about, taking care of God's business so he can take care of ours better than anyone I know. Now, Rusty used to sell water treatment systems, but he is currently selling financial investment services and other products, which I'll let him share about. So, Rusty, why don't you tell us a little bit about your business background leading up to and including what you currently do, and then share with us exactly how you do it. How do you prophesy, minister, and pray for people sometimes in the middle of a business transaction and then end up getting blessed by God in the process?
Well, historically, I had my first sales job selling Motorola brick phones and 3-watt bag phones on South Broad Avenue in Lakeland, Florida. That was many, many a year ago. I went into technology and phone systems and computer systems and all of that, and then into ministry. And then there was, you know, as it is in ministry, there are seasons when you're not full-time sometimes. So started selling water systems in home presentation. And you know how much of a people person I am, Jess. So just in homes, I was more comfortable in people's homes than they were probably having a stranger come in their house, especially someone, quote-unquote, trying to sell them something. So I always tried to not have a sales hat on, but just relate to people, teach them something that could help them, and then let them make, you know, an educated choice. But I always have, you know, struggled internally with honoring your employer and your and the time, being representing them and being on the clock and whatnot. But I've found in life that you always put God first and you honor him.
Yes.
Not just what you know from the word, making your own mental choice, not leaning to your own understanding, but being led by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
So that when you have an unction from the Spirit of God to do something,
mm-hmm.
you obey God first, and he always makes up the rest. He covers, yes. he graces, and there's always a proper reciprocation, and I've never, ever had an issue along those lines. I've experienced phenomenal things. I've had about as much fun in a home with a stranger as I've had in church service with 500 people.
So what does that look like when you do that? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, what you sow, you reap. So I've been in homes and been a tremendous blessing, and I've been in homes where I was the one blessed. So one story that comes to mind, I was in south side of Augusta, Georgia, and I was in a young man's house. He was early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And he just started sharing a little bit of his life, you know, and I found out this young man had 50-something thousand dollars in credit card debt, nothing to show for it, had a great job, but just no plan, no discipline. And I found out, you know, through the conversation that he was related to a well-known bishop. And it was one of the most unique experiences I've ever had, because when you live a yielded life, then the Spirit of God can speak to you sometimes, and you're not even consciously meaning to do it. I'm talking to this young man, and I literally heard myself say, "It's so strong on me right now, I could just take you by the hand and lead you to the Lord right now." And he sat up and reached his hand across the table. And I led this young man to the Lord right there at his kitchen table. I had a Bible still wrapped in plastic bouncing around my car for over a year, and it was the last of five Bibles I had been given by another lady when I was in her home and ministering to her and praying with her, because her husband was in the home with health issues. And she gave me five Bibles and some children's books before I left her house. And I was led where to sow those. And that was the last of those Bibles that woman sowed into me to sow in other people. And he wrote down exactly what scriptures to read in what order, what prayers to pray. And it was just a phenomenal experience. And then one of the homes I was the most blessed in myself, Jean-Claude Babin from the Congo, Africa. He and his wife and three sons, you know, they had a proper home, which is unusual in today's world, and they were all sitting at the dinner table having dinner.
And wow, that is unusual today.
I'm sitting there by the table with them, talking to them about the water and everything. But I'm telling you, those three young men, those three boys, they were probably 5 to 12, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God kept just putting them on my heart. And finally, they had finished eating, and Mom and Dad hadn't, and I just looked at Mom at the Father, and I said, "Would you mind, could I pray for your sons?" He said, "Oh, absolutely." And those three boys lined up, single filed right in front of me without me saying another word. And I prayed, laid hands on, and prophesied to all three of them boys while Mom and Dad are sitting there trying to finish eating. And then when we finished business, he looked at me and he said, "You were God's gift to me. Today is my birthday."
Oh, wow.
I had no idea it was the man's birthday. And they took me in the living room after they sent the boys upstairs to bed. And his wife and him took me by the hand and prayed for me till midnight standing in their living room.
My goodness.
We had church. And it's just about 3 months ago, I visited a church on Wednesday night and ran into them at the end of the service. And it had been 2 years since I had been in their home, and it was a wonderful reunion. And
so you went in there to minister to them and do business, and you ended up leaving there blessed and ministered by them.
Absolutely.
Wow.
It's the most blessed I've ever been in a home in my life. If you just, as you and I have discussed many times privately, that one of the most foundational things that's so important, once you come to know the Lord and surrender your life to not only have a Savior, but for Jesus to be Lord and ruler and director and guide,
yes,
the Holy Ghost, being led by the Spirit of God, what to do, when to do, how to do, instead of just running off in your own knowledge, leaning to your own understanding. It's so easy in business, you know, Jeff, for us, because we've been trained how to do our jobs, trained how to do our professions.
Right.
To lean on all that natural and only function in the natural when we're in the business realm.
Yep.
But if we will even yield our vessel to the Holy Ghost throughout every aspect of our daily life, we'll be amazed at how much God will use us if we just give room.
Yes. Yeah, we talked about that last week with John Bonnick about how we tend to compartmentalize, and we have a sacred space and for God, and then we have a secular space for business. And if we don't see those as one space and not separate them, we'll be stuck not ministering to people and not being obedient to God and not being blessed like you were.
Absolutely. You know, we think about that we're bought with a price. And most of us, I think, most of my life, anyway, I have absolutely been in a situation where that I'm bought with a price, just equal that I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. But it's so much more. Our
mm-hmm.
very life is an asset of the kingdom of God. Everything we have, every personal possession, and most important, even every minute of our life. So we need to be yielded and willing every minute to hear the Holy Ghost, to be instant in season, out of season, and to be able to be quickened, to be mindful, to be in that constant
mm-hmm.
state of prayer, praying without ceasing, always in communion with the Spirit of God, so that we can hear the prompts of that quiet, still voice to say,
mm-hmm.
just encourage this person. Just encourage that one. And it makes life so fun and so full and so fulfilling.
Yes. Wow. Yeah, I could listen all day to. Can you give us maybe one or two more examples of this happening as you're going into people's homes?
Certainly. 3 years ago, God gave me a birthday present. I went to a family's house. It's never happened before or since. I went to a family's house, and I'm knocking on their front door, and they're not coming to the door. And I kept hearing something. So I walked around the side of the house. They're in the backyard. Father is running a chainsaw. Mom's dragging limbs, hollering at kids. And the kids are running around on electric vehicles. And everything I did, those people never heard me. They couldn't hear me. So after 15 minutes of exacerbation, I called the office and I said, these people are in the backyard and they can't hear me. I've been here 15 minutes trying to get their attention. They said, well, we'll just get you another appointment. So they sent me to this man's house. I walk in this man's house, and he's kind of leaning, you know, kind of funny against his kitchen counter. He keeps shifting his weight around, and I keep trying to talk, you know, about water, and he keeps pulling the conversation to God. And
oh, my.
Finally, this guy just looks at me. He says, are you going to keep trying to sell me a water system, or are you just going to let me buy one? The Holy Spirit's telling on you already. that 24th, 3 years ago, on my birthday. And we're now tremendous friends. His name is Matthew Black. He's a financial counselor. He's a former Black Ops commander. And his testimony is phenomenal. His whole troop he took out, they were dropped off in the field. And the minute they were dropped off in the field, they were surrounded by fire for 23 hours. The Warthog lead pilot violated his orders and flew a different way and found them. And in 23 hours of being fired at from three-quarter circumference, he never lost one man. And right before he left for that mission, God asked him, "Will you trust me and accept my love and peace?" And he dedicated privately just his life to the Lord before that mission. And now he's an independent financial advisor. We're great friends, still have lunch ever since 3 years ago. And it's just, so, you know, you can even get divine relationships and friendships if you just walk being led by the Spirit of God as you do business. It's
that
so
is amazing.
Easy.
So you were trying to sell him, and then he says, "Well, when are you going to quit trying to sell me and let me buy it?"
He's like,
"So has the Holy Spirit told him to buy it?"
He's like, "You want to keep trying to talk about water, or are you just going to let me buy one? The Holy Spirit's telling on you already." He discerned and perceived I was a brother, and I was the right, you know, a good person, and had the right motivations, and he needed a system, and there you go.
Boy, talk about talking beyond the point of sale. You just getting started, probably.
Yes.
Oh,
so,
my.
You know, that's a prime example of you reap what you sow. I've honored God for years in so many homes. You know, like jumping back to the first story, that first young man, he wanted to buy a water treatment system. I wouldn't let him. If my company knew that, they'd freak out. But here he is with $50,000 of credit card debt and in a financial mess. You know, but he had the credit score to get approved, but I actually spent more time with him and worked out and went through and organized an entire budget for him to get out of debt so he could serve God.
Wow.
So when you honor God and do what's right in business and seek first the kingdom and honor God in the kingdom first, the business will take care of itself. You cannot outgive God, period.
Yes. Yep, and that is our theme for this month, Matthew 6:33. You put him first, and he's going to put you first. You take care of his business, he'll take care of yours. I love it, Rusty. Victoria, can we open this up for questions and answers? I know if we have other people on the line, they're going to want to ask Rusty some questions as well. Takes her a minute to unmute herself first and then everyone else.
Oh yeah, I actually forgot to unmute myself, and only when you started talking I understood that you can hear me. I everybody else though, and everybody is welcome to ask a question or comment or share maybe similar story, anything you have, like any thoughts you had for what. Rusty. Everybody's welcome.
Rusty, this is Gary from Los Angeles. And I appreciate your story so much. And I've been in years past, I was very open. I was even once told by a major semiconductor company that I had to stop talking about Jesus, you know, on my sales calls. And I said, I don't think so. And I said, well, here, you can have the job back. They didn't want to lose me, but it went all the way up to the corporate. Well, the HR department backed the guy my boss, right, at the time, and then I said, okay, well, I respectfully, you know, ask you to at least submit it to the company, the legal team. Because I feel like if I can talk about the Super Bowl or I can talk about, you know, the World Series, I'm allowed to talk about Jesus because it's all the same. And yeah. So it went to the attorneys, and they said, yep, he's right. He's got the right. And you know, I treated them with respect. I said, I won't do it until we get a ruling. But when I left corporate and I went in my own business and I started doing, you know, my own marketing, my coaches were telling me, yeah, never talk about religion. And so I've kind of been in a box for a while. So I'm just starting to come out. So it was very, you know, just be more forthright. And, you know, I do here and there, but like on social media, I'm still kind of struggling with, you know, how open should I be? What should it look like? And I'm getting the feeling of just be who I am and let the chips fall where they may, because I love Jesus and he loves me. And, you know, what could be bad about that, you know?
Yeah, that's it.
So many people have an aversion to religion, Gary, and I do too. And yeah. It's the love of God, the love of God that leads men to repentance. So God gave us all individual personalities and giftedness. And if you just do exactly what you just said, Brother Gary, be yourself and let your yeah. speech be seasoned with grace so that it'll impart grace to the hearer. And let your motivation of what you say regarding Jesus to others be from a motivation of love and care for them, it'll all work out just fine.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. If they feel loved and appreciated and honored, and you're not just talking at them, but you're listening to them, I think that's been a key for me.
Yes, the old saying, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Anyone else has anything to share?
Somebody be bold for Jesus.
Hi, this is Paula from Rhode Island.
Hello, Paula.
I haven't been on the call in like so long. I think I got to listen last week too, but I just want to say how much I appreciate these kind of calls when you're letting us know how much God loves to use us, and we're not necessarily companies that are on a grand scale. Like, you know, I don't make $100,000 a year or whatever, but when you talk about these things, you just encourage me to know that when I have my little times in my little office where I encourage somebody or I get to pray with somebody or things like that. So I guess you're just encouraging me tonight to keep on keeping on. And I appreciate that very, very much.
We don't know the ramifications of the smallest little word. We probably, most people that encourage others with little words like that, like you do, Paula, have no idea how many lives you've changed and or saved. There, you know, my own personal testimony, I was raised in the church, and I had a very rough childhood, and I had my suicide planned completely. 17 years of age, I had told my dad the truth, and made an excuse without lying because I didn't want to go to hell. And I told my church the truth. We had a youth lock-in, and I told the church, well, I've got to close at work, so I might not make it to the lock-in. And I told my dad, we got a lock-in at the church, so I might not get home after work tonight, so that I wasn't lying to anybody, and I had planned on taking my life. And 5 minutes before the store closed, my Sunday school teacher walked into the grocery store and just started encouraging me and talking to me while he grabbed three little items and then hit it off. And that man has no idea he saved my life. And there's so many things like that that we will never know till we get to heaven. And that's why it's going to be so much rejoicing and joy up there. Because we're going to get to see and find out all that God accomplished through the tiniest things we've done.
Thank you again.
Thank you, Rusty. That makes me made me speechless for a second. I think we can now ask Rusty to pray for us, close out our call, or does anyone else want to say something before we do that?
I wouldn't mind just sharing a quick testimony. This is Kathy in North Carolina.
Of course, yeah.
And talk about when you just don't know the smallest thing. So, I don't know, years ago I decided Christmas time for people in retail is really not always good because people aren't always nice, and it's a stressful time. So I decided, you know, that whole leave them better off than when you found people. So I started to just say, you know, have a blessed day. Well, twice now. So one time just on a phone call, I don't know, it was a business call, and I said to the gentleman, I said, have a blessed day. And he went, oh, my gosh. He said, you just made my day. Well, his telling me that just lit me up inside. I thought, so I don't know who was more blessed, him or me. And then in work, I would tell people, you know, the same thing at my office. And I don't know, one day I guess I was distracted or something. And I said goodbye to a gal. And she said to me, well, you didn't bless me. I said, excuse me? She said, you didn't say have a blessed day like you always do. And so I didn't even, she knew I had not said it. And she, you know, and I was just distracted. So it obviously made a difference and an impact on her. Just that, like you're talking about, little things.
Most people in this world, they've trained society to cocoon themselves and separate themselves. And so many people are so devoid of encouragement, love, affection, and care from other people. Most people are walking around lonely, even in the midst of a crowd. And if we'll just do those little things, like you just said, Kathy, only heaven knows.
Amen.
Yeah.
That is true. Rusty, would you now pray for us and close out that call, please?
Yes. I didn't answer one little thing that Jeff wanted me to mention, and that's what I do now is I actually am helping companies get employee retention credits for people working during 2020 and 2021 during the pandemic. So any company, anywhere USA, W-2 employees, I get most companies more free grant non-taxed money than they got in PPP loans. It's just a wonderful thing. I'm giving away money and blessing companies to hire more people and bless their employees. So that's what I'm getting to do now, and it's fun.
So, that sounds like fun.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you that we're mindful that you are ever present, ever with us. Even if we make our bed in hell, you're yet there with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. Thank you, Jesus. You were obedient even unto the death of the cross. And you sent the promise of the Father, the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Spirit of the living God, for indwelling us in our lives, using us for the glory of the kingdom of God. Father, we commit afresh this day, each one of us, to circumcise our heart and our ear to hear that quiet, still voice that help us, Father, to even hone our craft even more to hear you, to be led of you so that you can truly minister and reach the lost. Help us to be like Paul when he said, I've become all things to all men that I might win a few. Truly the harvest is great. The fields are white, Father. And thank you that we're not just business people, but you have made us
laborers, yes. full of your love, yes. your compassion, and your wisdom, and your fire, and your zeal, and the unction of the Holy Ghost to speak yes. your word with kindness and love. Help us. And Holy Ghost, we ask you to help us. We thank you, Father, for wisdom to know when to speak, that we don't just speak of our own accord, but when you desire to woo, convict, and draw, and pour your love and your goodness out on someone, that we'll be willing, ready, yielded yeah. vessels to be used for the glory of the kingdom, God. I speak your blessing upon each person listening, each person that will listen to this. We speak encouragement and the blessing of God. And, Father, we thank you that you're ever faithful, and it is more blessed to give than to receive. And thank you that you make us a blessing to others for the kingdom in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rusty, so much for sharing, and appreciate you. Love you, brother. And thank you, everyone else, for joining us. As Victoria mentioned and I mentioned previously, Holy Spirit and prophetic history is my forte. So you don't want to miss the next 2 weeks. I'm going to be sharing about two very special businessmen from church history who were not only successful businessmen, but also changed the world in the process, just like Rusty was talking about, like the rest of you were talking about. We're changing the world one person at a time. But these two people, one of them is Jeremiah Lanfair, who started the Layman's Prayer Revival in the 19th century that went global. And the other one is, we always save the best for last, is Demas Shakarian, who was instrumental in starting the modern-day charismatic movement in the 20th century. He also changed the world, and his family had the largest privately owned dairy farm in the world, which again proves our whole point in this. If you take care of God's kingdom and put that first, God will take care of your business. And so can't wait to share about those guys with you, and love you guys, and talk to you next week.
Thank you, Jeff. Talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Love you, brother.
All right.
Have a good evening, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.